McDaniel and Larry Seeger with the Freedom Message Train. Thank you very much, guys, for writing that fantastic tune. Thank you very much. Again, the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent live on bbsradio.com. The number to call into the show and participate is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. I'm looking forward to taking your call and talking Ron Paul with you. So, well, yesterday we had the values voter debate in Florida, and we streamed that live right immediately following my show, and I was on air with a little color commentary, and that will be available on our website for download and listening. But the real news of the day is the U.S. dollar. I've been speaking about this from time to time and warning about a dollar collapse being imminent. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, it seems as though that is in full progress at this moment. As I speak, the U.S. dollar is down 0.67% 0.67% for the day. That is a large move in terms of currencies. The number of 1% moves in a in the U.S. dollar or in any currency could probably be counted on two hands. So two-thirds of a percent move in the U.S. dollar down, a very large move today, breaking through what is known as historical support. This is it's really one for the textbooks, because it would almost appear, now if one were sort of bent towards what one might refer to as conspiracy theories or something of that nature, one might think that this was set up to happen, because the setup is just too perfect. First, you have the U.S. dollar sitting at a point below which, if it falls, will lead to a dramatic devaluation of the U.S. dollar in a very short period of time. Will lead to a sell-off in U.S. dollar-denominated assets by foreign holders of U.S. debt. At the same time, the Federal Reserve is maneuvered, apparently, into a position where it has no choice but to increase the money supply by slashing interest rates, which is what it did today, because of the apparent meltdown in the mortgage market. Because of the fact that we are now apparently in a recession, which anybody could have told you was happening, didn't need the Fed for that, but because of this, they are now apparently forced and obliged to cut interest rates at the precise moment that the dollar is in a position where it cannot fall any further without severe consequences. So you tell me how we got to this point. Certainly, Dr. Paul has some pretty good ideas about it. He's been telling us about this for many years, and in everything that he has spoken about is literally transpiring before our very eyes. We are witnessing a collapse of the dollar. Today, basically, in the last couple of days, the dollar is worth more than 1% less than what it was a couple of days ago. And now this trend is not going to stop. I mean, the amazing things happen in markets, in financial markets. There could be some kind of miraculous recovery, but I have studied this somewhat thoroughly. I would not say that I am an expert, but I am not a novice either. And I have observed these markets, and I have learned about what makes them move, and I cannot at this moment imagine how the dollar can recover from this. Okay, we are going to see a devaluation of the United States dollar of 20 to 30% in the next couple of weeks to a couple of months. This is a dramatic shift, a tectonic shift in financial, in the financial world internationally. The gold has surged to a 27-year high at a price it has not seen in 27 years. Okay, well over $700 an ounce. Oil surged by almost a dollar today to an all-time high of $81.51. Wheat is at an all-time high. So they try to tell us that there is no inflation, that it's at 2%, because they give you this statistic of core inflation where they take out energy, and food. In other words, all the most important stuff that you use all the time, they take out, and then they tell you that there's no inflation. So when you put back the stuff that you know you use, like gasoline and energy and food, okay, wheat is one of the most important elements in all food products, you get a lot of inflation at an all-time high for both of these two principal commodities, oil, crude oil, and wheat. Okay, so dollar declining means inflation. When the value of the dollar unit goes down, that means prices are going up. Okay, so we are entering a period of hyperinflation and financial crisis. Now, the full implications of this, things can unfold in lots of different ways, but it's not going to be good for the average person. And what it might be good for is the Ron Paul campaign. Now, this has to make some news. We are in a financial crisis. They are just barely starting to talk about a recession, but they have not, the mainstream media, as of yet, started to admit the depth of this crisis. Only Ron Paul, thus far, is speaking about it. Now, when they are forced in the next few days, more than likely, to start talking about it because it's too dang obvious, the only person who you're going to call, Ron Paul, okay? The only person you're going to call on this issue in Washington is Ron Paul. Now, if they do not, Ron Paul Army, arm your phones, man your battle stations, because if they don't get Ron Paul on the major media to talk about the financial crisis, the debt bubble imploding, and the dollar crashing, then there is a conspiracy to suppress Dr. Paul in the mainstream media. Because he's the who you're going to call, okay? Ron Paul. He's the only person to call in Washington on this. So if we don't see some major media coverage of Dr. Paul on this issue, folks, we got to get on the job, and we've got to make a lot of phone calls, and we've got to harass a lot of media people till they give him the time that he needs, that he is due on this issue. So please keep that in mind. Now, I'll give you a couple of websites. I know this is a really difficult issue to sort of understand and grasp and understand how it works, and you know, it all goes to the Federal Reserve, perhaps the central thing. But I would say a couple of websites that you can go to read some analysis on this is kitco.com, KITCO.com. Try that one. And then also another one is goldseek.com, GOLDSEEK.com. And another one would be goldeagle.com. And another one will be financialsense.com, financialsense, S-E-N-S-E.com. Try those. Some of the articles may be accessible to the layperson. Some may not be. But it's something that you'll definitely want to become familiar with, because this is an issue that's going to keep coming up. It ain't going away. So let's see. So I want you to stay abreast of that. And I will certainly keep you up with that. And I am going to be working on putting together a show of experts on this issue so that we can get into this more fully. So the values voter debate was yesterday. And Ron Paul came in second in the straw poll. Okay, that's not bad. We had Huckabee come in first place, and he did well with, I think, a 60-some-odd percent victory in the straw poll. Now, it's important to know that those invited to vote in the straw poll were handpicked. The handpicked Christian conservatives were allowed to vote in the straw poll. So it was not an open straw poll. Okay, it was very closed. It was very handpicked. So the fact that Dr. Paul did well in that circumstance is actually a positive, I would say. I didn't know what to expect from this debate, and there were aspects of it that were good, I think, but there were certainly aspects of it I didn't really appeal to me. I think that, you know, people have a right to have a have an event that reflects their point of view, and we have to be clear. The point of view of the values voter debate was clearly right-wing Christian conservative, and there are differences between the right-wing Christian conservative view and the libertarian view, and I think that the right-wing Christian conservatives are essentially the flip side of the liberals. They're basically the same in many ways. I mean, basically what they believe in is their issues. They believe that they believe in getting their point of view imposed on the rest of the country. Okay? They don't actually believe in constitutional government. They don't believe in the constitutional republic. They believe in their beliefs, in their issues. They believe that gay marriage should be illegal. They believe that abortion should be illegal. They believe, you know, in all of these conservative values, which, you know, some you may perhaps also have that value, that you may feel that gays should not be allowed to have a legal marriage, that abortion should be. You may believe in these things. And I'm not here to say whether that's a good or bad thing. I'm not going to judge you on your beliefs one way or another. But what they don't believe in is freedom. Neither the liberals nor the so-called conservatives believe in freedom. They believe in the use of state power to impose their values and their views on the rest of the country, on everybody. And, you know, what Dr. Paul was trying to point out, and well, he did a good job of pointing this out, actually, is that, you know, the Constitution exists to create freedom for controversial views, for views that are not in the mainstream, that are not the norm. That's why we have the Constitution. That is what freedom is. So we're going to go ahead and listen to some of Dr. Paul's speech, and well, let's go ahead and we have a caller first. Before we go on to that, we're gonna take a call from Kathy in Los Angeles, and I think she wants to talk about this incident that happened in Florida, and it's really quite an amazing incident. I just caught this YouTube video before we went live. In Florida, at a John Kerry rally, apparently a student was tasered for asking John Kerry a question. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes, I'm here listening.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you? Okay.
Good. So what did you want to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to just to inform the listeners that I have John Kerry's phone number in his office in Boston, and they can express their opinion that, you know, John Kerry was there and he could have stopped this university student from being attacked from these so-called, I call them stormtroopers, because they were taking away our protected right of freedom of speech. Because the fact is, the student was there asking Kerry a few questions. Should I reiterate some of the questions? Or?
Sure, briefly, go ahead. I mean, if I...
Okay, he asked him,
yeah, go ahead.
Why didn't he impeach Bush? Why is it that... why did he impeach Bush? And about the question of that he's a member of the Skull and Bones. And I think that kind of put him back,
embarrassed
him
why,
in a way.
Why didn't, if there was vote fraud, why didn't he
and there was vote fraud, yes.
In the election, and why did he concede so easily? And
yes.
I see those as being off the wall, you know, just crazy, whacked up. Those are legitimate questions to ask. He didn't appear
right
to me to be, you know, out of control in any way. He was simply trying to ask some questions that he felt were important, and then he was bum rushed by security. Now, Kerry did say, "Oh no, leave him alone." He kind of half heartedly went, "He goes, oh no, leave him alone. Let him answer his question. Let him ask his question." He didn't really, you know, try to stand up for the guy. He kind of made this half hearted attempt. And you're right, Kathy, it is a violation, and this is just a real barometer, real thermometer of where we are as a society, where we are, where, you know, just asking a government official, you know, a question in public gets you bum-rushed by security, tased, and thrown in jail. And by the way, this is not the first time that this has happened. This is turning into somewhat of a common occurrence. I'll give you another example of this, Kathy. There was I remember seeing a video of Fred Thompson, I would say about 2.5 months ago, and a woman went up to him in a public situation and asked him a question. I can't remember what the question was, but apparently, you know, he was treating her like some kind of, you know, idiot and saying, oh, well, you know, in his fake Southern accent. It's just like Bush has his fake Texan accent. He's got his fake Southern accent. Oh, well, now, you know, this and that and the other thing, and just trying to placate her. And all of a sudden, she was surrounded by security, and they were putting their hands on her, and all she was doing is asking a perfectly legitimate question of this ex-senator, who's not even a public official anymore, just a private individual, and dragging her off, and she's screaming, and they're twisting her arm behind her back, and, you know, is this what we are turning into, where these public officials and public figures are just gods that cannot even be approached unless you do it on bended knee and ask the most genteel of questions and softballs, you know, I mean.
Right, what they want to hear.
Exactly, and it's really, really disgusting. And I can you imagine if anything like even remotely like that would happen with at a Ron Paul speech or presentation? I mean, he would get
absolutely
off the podium and walk down
not
and demand that they release whoever it was, even if that was a person that was asking him a question that was, you know, uncomfortable for him. He would defend to the death that person's right to speak. There's no question about that. And you know, why didn't Mr. Fred Thompson say, hey, this is America, you know,
right,
let me speak if she wants to ask me a question, that's okay, it's a free country, and, you know, she's not bothering anybody, she's just asking a question. Why didn't Mr. Fred Thompson do that? Why did Mr. John Kerry do that?
Right, they just let him have bodily harm, and the people there were in the university listening were snickering and didn't lift a muscle.
It's unbelievable.
They didn't speak a word.
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, Kathy. It was on my list.
It made my blood boil, I can tell you.
Oh, for sure. Well, you know what? You know, the times, they are a changing. The Ron Paul revolution is here, and we're gonna change all of that.
We need to wake up the people and tell them that this is one of the rights that we're taking away, and by just asking a question, a simple question.
Absolutely. Well, you know, these are our lords and masters. Like I say, you know, we don't have rules anymore, so what do we have? We have rulers. So these are our rulers, and apparently, just like King George in Old England, you can't speak up to them and say anything that they don't like. So that's the way it works, Kathy. Just get used to being a serf, you know? Only kidding, of course.
No,
thanks again for your call, okay?
You.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. So, the values voter debate, again, and we want to play a little bit of this for you, and what I would like to do is if we could cue that up to the 13-minute and 19-second spot, I want to play his summarization. He's given 4 minutes to sort of summarize at the end, and I want to get to that first. So 13 minutes and 19 seconds is where that would be in the clip, and when you got that ready, go ahead and roll it. Yes, 13 minutes and 19 seconds. In the Ron Paul voter values debate clip.
This moves us to our final segment, where we will hear your closing statements. And Dr. Ron Paul, you have 4 minutes for your closing statement.
Thank you. We have been blessed to be able to live in the greatest country in the world. We've had the best contract between the people and the government, but we're losing it, and we have to realize that. We have resorted to going to Washington for everything. We cannot go to Washington to dictate to us how we improve our personal behavior. You don't legislate virtue. In a free society, you do that from the people, from your family, your friends, and your neighbors, but not in the federal government. Also, you can't legislate economic fairness like so many want to do. Freedom means freedom. It means the government should be very small. Also, although we have many good qualities, if you accept the principle that we can promote our qualities and force them on other people at risk, you're in big trouble. Because there is a true phenomenon called blowback, and people don't like to have their countries occupied, and they will resent it, and we will suffer the consequences from this. In the last several years, we as a party and as a country, we have suffered because the conservative movement has been taken over by the neoconservatives, and they're not conservatives at all. They don't believe in limited government. They believe in entitlements. They also believe in the Woodrow Wilson's philosophy of making the world safe for democracy, run around the world and forcing ourselves and bankrupting this country. We're spending nearly $1 trillion a year overseas, and this country's in bad shape financially. So we need to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to live within the law, or are we going to pretend the government can take care of everything possible? We are now $9 trillion in debt. We have a dollar that's crashing, and we keep financing this by taxing, borrowing, and then what do we resort to? We resort to printing the money. We should look to the Constitution. We should make sure that we get rid of our central bank, the Federal Reserve, and have only gold and silver as legal tender. This is the reason our government gets so big, because we give them license to steal, license to inflate, license to tax, and license to borrow, and politicians will always do it. What we should struggle for is our freedom. Have faith and trust in freedom that it works. We've lost our faith and confidence in ourselves. We feel like we have to be the bullies of the world, and we feel like we have to have government in Washington. What happens when government fails in Washington? Going to go to the UN like we already have? We already obey the WTO. We changed tax laws because of the WTO. There's every reason in the world that if we just look to our traditions and understood our problems, we can once again set the goal for liberty, not for this perfect society that comes at the sacrifice of liberty. When you ask government to do it, you have to sacrifice liberty. This is not difficult to understand, but right now we are drifting rather rapidly into a totalitarian state. We have been too willing to sacrifice our liberties for this so-called sense of security. We need more faith in the Second Amendment. We need more faith that the right of habeas corpus should be protected. And we have to understand the national ID card is not going to work. That only registers and regulates the American people. And we don't need secret prisons. We don't need torture. We need American values and traditions. We need to believe in ourselves. And once again, I would like to reiterate from a Christian viewpoint, you know, the true doctrine of war written by Christianity, the doctrine of non-war, the just war, is that you do it only under certain circumstances. You don't do it for UN resolutions. You don't do it for weapons that don't exist. You need to do it with a moral justification. If we would have declared the war, like I insisted they should if they want to go to war, we wouldn't be debating the war now. It would be over, and we'd all be a lot better off, and we would have 5,000 Americans still alive and 30,000 uninjured.
Dr. Paul, taking it to the house. You know, a little bit of booing there at the end. You know what? Good. Stir them up. Let them see in plain view, in front of their faces, you know, what the real deal is. Let them confront it. That's what I say. Good. Good. Let them boo. Okay? That kind of reaction is better than no reaction. At least they're being forced to see it and confront it. So, you know, he covered a lot of territory in this in his summation. You know, I don't want to say he was in a hostile house, because I don't think it's really quite like that. I think that a lot of these people that follow this extreme right-wing Christian conservative outlook can come over to freedom. They want what's best. And, you know, they're like the liberals, okay? Yeah, I know a lot of liberals, okay? I would say most everybody I know outside of the Ron Paul movement would be liberals. You know, green, very green liberals. And they're good people. You know, they're good people. They really want what's best. You know, but they just don't understand the freedom message. They just don't understand freedom. And like Ron Paul says, they don't understand, they don't trust in freedom, that freedom works. They have this compulsion to have things controlled. Now, if they can't do the controlling, then it has to be done via a proxy. And that proxy is the government. For the liberals, the proxy is the welfare state. Okay? Control everything economically. Control everything socially via the welfare state, the nanny state that's going to take care of everything for you and make it all right. Okay? And for the extreme right-wing Christians or conservatives, you know, I can't even call them. They don't own that word, okay? You know, for the, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Make everything safe and protected by Big Daddy government, both inside the country and outside the country. Okay? Put your trust in the state to solve the problems of security for you, both internally and externally. And if they don't like the way society is changing, and they want to protect that, they want to keep things the way they are so that they feel safe in their values, unchallenged by something that's different from them, they turn to, not freedom, the state. I want to use the state power to protect the way of life that I think is right. And they use that club of the state to do that. Now, you know, you can have arguments and you can have discussions, and you know what? I might be inclined to agree. I'll say publicly that on abortion, I agree. I don't think that abortion is a good thing. That's my personal view. From my own personal spiritual perspective, I don't feel good about abortion. I don't think people should have abortions. And if someone was in front of me right now, I would try to persuade them to not have an abortion. But I don't think that it's the place of the state to make that decision. Okay? I don't think it's the place of the state, at least on a federal level. And if you live in a jurisdiction where a majority of people feel that abortion should be illegal, and they get together and they have a referendum and they pass a state law or a local ordinance of some sort that in Los Angeles County, from here to here and here to here, in this zone, we all agree that abortion is murder and it shall not be permitted and that's the belief of that community, then they have the right to do that, you know. Or they might pass another law which says, we believe in this area that it's legal, that it is acceptable, and that doctors should have abortions, and we therefore permit it, and we expressly grant that right in this area. And the local community has made that decision. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. Yet, both of these camps, the welfare state, the warfare state, the liberal, the conservative, they want to use state power simply to have their way. And you know what I'd like to point out to people? Look at your own life. Have you ever been wrong about something? Have you ever changed your mind? Have you held a belief and been so sure that it was the right thing for a period of time, and then later on you realized, or you felt, you came to feel that you were wrong? Doesn't it happen? Of course it happens. So, how, you know, you can be so committed to an ideal, you can be so committed to an idea, and then only later on discover that you were absolutely wrong, or you come to feel that you were absolutely wrong. Who knows, that could change again. So can you use state power to impose those views when you might very well be wrong, or later on come to feel that you're wrong. What happens if we all decide, that state power should be used to remove the right of habeas corpus, right, due process, because we have such a problem with crime and terrorism in this country that we should just go ahead and do without habeas corpus, and you're going to support that view, and later on you're going to discover you were wrong because it's you sitting in the jail cell. Okay, this is what Ron Paul was indicating in his speech here. You can do all these things, but later on you're gonna find out that this is what he said at the very beginning. You can do all these things. You can impose. You can't legislate virtue. You can't legislate economic equality. You can't legislate these things. You can do that if you want to, but later on all those laws are going to end up being used against you. They're going to be used against you. This is how they do it. They use something like, pointed out yesterday, the seatbelt law. It's a good idea to wear your seatbelt, right? It's a pretty good idea. But then they threw the Constitution down the drain and said, now the state can go into your car and tell you, you have to wear a seatbelt, and impose that good idea on you. Well, it ended up being a bad idea, because that good idea, so-called, ended up leading to a number of very bad ideas, to where we now have a situation where the state can impose its will into every single facet of your life. We have lost our freedom. Now, what did Dr. Paul say? He didn't mince words. He said, we are drifting rapidly into a totalitarian state. Now, that is not hyperbole. That is not exaggeration. He is simply calling it as he sees it, and he is seeing it right. That is where we are at right now. Okay? National ID card coming. I think it's May of 2008. It goes into effect. Only a couple of states have rejected this. I know in New Hampshire they turned it down. They said in New Hampshire there will not be the Real ID Act. We will not enforce it. Okay? And we need to do that in every state on a local level. Use our local power to reject this. Reject the national ID card. Refuse to be cataloged and classified and databased like cattle. We absolutely must. So what else did he talk about? The dollar crashing. What I started the show out with. Printing money in order to finance the government, in order to finance our trade. Gold and silver as legal tender. Okay, this is happening right now. All of this is actually happening, transpiring right now in our lives, in our world, for real, no joke. Okay? We have to support Ron Paul for president with absolutely everything we've got, because history is unfolding right now. We are in Weimar Germany, pre-Nazi Germany right now, at the very doorstep. At the very doorstep of the loss of liberty and totalitarianism. We are there right now. Okay? It's all about what you do or don't do. You. Yeah, you. Okay? Me too. All of us. If we don't support Dr. Paul in absolutely every way, the way he is standing up for us, if we do not stand up for him with absolutely everything we have right now, we are lost as a nation. So, he talked about the about God, and that we need to get back to the just war theory of Christianity, and that, war is only for exceptional circumstances. Not every time there's a boogeyman out there that we think we got to get. Every kind of excuse that you want to come up with to raise fear among the population and get them to go along with it. Okay, we got to wake up to that. War is not just some thing that you can casually do. Okay, war is murder. Sometimes, apparently, you got to do it in certain circumstances. But it's really, the exception and not the rule. And it has become the rule in our society. One war after another, any excuse will do. okay? As long as they can convince us that it's a good idea for long enough. So, anyway, I think that he said what he had to say. I wouldn't call it a hostile audience. I would say it's a group of people who have not taken the red pill yet. Okay, some of them have, because look, he did come in second place, right? So that counts for something. Something's happening there. We have made some kind of inroads and woken some people up to the message of freedom there. Some people, anyway. The number to call into the show, 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. I'd love to take your call. Give me a ring. Let's talk about it. 877-270-8714. So a few other things I'd like to talk to you about. Let's see. There's something. It was a new project I was going to launch. Something to the effect of, I pledge that I will vote for Ron Paul. The idea being to create an online database or list, a registered database list of people that intend to register Republican and vote for Ron Paul in every state. And I sort of got started with that, and then I found out that there's actually a couple of other efforts in that direction, which is excellent. And I just want to point you in the direction of these. And if you're near your computer, perhaps you might want to go to do this right now while you're listening to the show. I discovered ronpaulregistry.com. Now let me make sure that that's the actual website address. Looking that up for you, I believe it's ronpaulregistry.com. In fact, it is, ronpaulregistry.com, and there's a statement there, and you can register your support for Dr. Paul. So this is an effort, and I support this fully, and I hope that you will all do this immediately, to compile a complete list of people that are supporting Dr. Paul and that will vote for Dr. Paul so that we can put the lie to this 2% number. Because you know what? There's just no way it's 2%. If we've got to get 500,000 people in one of these registries right away. There's got to be 500,000 Ron Paul supporters out there right now. Let's get them all in that registry. RonPaulRegistry.com. Now, there's another one at PetitionOnline.com. I believe this is, let me get it for you, PetitionOnline/RPO8. PetitionOnline/RPO8. And you can go there. Now, you can actually find that via my website, new website domain, ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. You look on the right-hand side, there's the link to I Pledge That I Will Vote for Ron Paul. You click on that, and you'll find the petition online. And there's two petitions. One's a national one, and then I created a California one. So what I might do is have one for each state so that we have it on a state-by-state basis as well as a national basis. So do all of them. What the heck, you know? I mean, do all of them. Do Ron Paul Registry, do Petition Online. But, you know, let's do this and spread the word. Get it in an email. Get it out to everybody so that we can start putting the lie to this 2% number and show people that there's something real going on here with the Ron Paul Revolution. That this is not something that they can continue to sweep under the rug and pretend it doesn't exist. Now, at the debate last night, I think that there was some good recognition of Ron Paul and his support. Certainly, our supporters were there in numbers, and they were cheering loudly. I can say that Dr. Paul's presence and the presence of Ron Paul's supporters certainly shifted the debate in the direction of the freedom message, and I think made people, you know, think about it. Really think about it. So let me also tell you about Thursday. We're going to have a new element in the show. And this is just an experiment. We're going to try this and see how it goes. Thursday, you'll be able to go to ronpaulvoices.com, ronpaulvoices.com. And this is a live audio chat room, and we're going to have a live audio chat, excuse me, over the air, discussing, I don't know what we're discussing, we're discussing something, you know, about Ron Paul and or the Ron Paul movement, and we're just going to have a chat. Now, only 75 people at a time can be registered. So if you want to participate this Thursday, go to ronpaulvoices.com right now, register, and then you can be you can participate in the show, and it'll be just an audio chat audio chat room. I'm going to try to moderate it to some degree, but it's all just kind of an experiment. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if we have some fun with it. But that'll be on Thursday, and on Friday there's going to be a live webcast on the show of a sign waving that we're going to do during traffic hour here in Los Angeles. So from 3 to 6, traffic hour lasts probably like 4 or 5 hours here in Los Angeles on a Friday. So from 3 to 6 at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda, which is a very, very busy intersection in the San Fernando Valley, in Sherman Oaks, at Sepulveda and Ventura, we're going to do a sign waving, and I'm going to live webcast that with my wireless internet connection, and we're going to have some fun with that. So you'll hear us live on the street waving signs and chanting Ron Paul, and meeting people and listening to the honks as they go by one after another. We'll keep track of that for you and talk to all the supporters and hear why they're there and why they support Ron Paul, and it'll just be a lot of fun. We'll just be transmitting to you, amplifying the fun of supporting Ron Paul that we'll be having on Friday as we wave signs in Sherman Oaks. So look forward to that. On Google Video, I have a video posted of Ron Paul in Los Angeles. It's a video slideshow of several hundred pictures that I got from Ron Paul supporters. And underneath the video is the audio of the live webcast of Ron Paul in Los Angeles that I brought to you via the Freedom Message and bbsradio.com last Wednesday. So you can listen, and you can also see the images of the people. And that's on Google Video because it's an hour and 45 minutes long. And so that won't go on YouTube. So go ahead to do a search on Google Video, and you'll find that there. Ron Paul, just search Ron Paul in Los Angeles, September 12th, I think, which should bring it up for you. The one that's up there right now, I don't know why. Visually, it looks horrible. So I am going to be sending up another version of that tonight, which should be better quality. But if you just want to listen to it, go ahead and have a listen to that on Google Video. So big news, Paint the Town Ron. Paint the Town Ron, September 29th and 30th, and that will be a national event. Basically, everyone's going to do signs and banners overnight all across their cities. And when you wake up on the morning of the 31st, I believe it is. I have to check the calendar, but I believe the Monday would be the 31st. I think the idea is that Sunday evening to sort of paint the town, and then you wake up in the morning of the on that Monday going to work. Everyone's going to see Ron Paul everywhere all across the country. So I fully support this. I think the time for nationally coordinated action is here, and it's time to do it. So Paint the Town Ron on that weekend, the 29th and 30th is a Saturday and Sunday, and I think the 31st is the Monday, but don't quote me on that as far as the dates go. And there is a website, paintthetownron.org, I believe. I believe it's .org. So check that out. And if you're not already participating in that, then contact, I think the organizer's name is Chris Holly, and the information should be there on the website, Paint the Town Ron. Okay, and then tonight I need you to be part of two important teleconferences. The next important national event is going to be the next All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's Freedom Message, and that will be on the October the 13th, a Saturday. And we will have a planning teleconference for that tonight. Please come on the call. I'll give you the number. Go ahead and get a pen. While you're getting your pen and your paper ready, I'll tell you there will be two teleconferences. One will be at 5 p.m. Pacific, which would make that 8 p.m. Eastern. And following that at 6 p.m. Pacific, which would make that 9 p.m. Eastern, there will be a teleconference on the National Federation of Republican Women's Convention in Palm Springs. And that's coming up this 29th and 30th, actually, of September. So I am calling on all Ron Paul women everywhere to come out to Palm Springs and show the Republican Women's Convention your strength. Show them. Be there. Talk to them. Open their eyes to the freedom message. Influence them. These are women that work really hard in the Republican Party. And you know what? A lot of people are dissatisfied and discontented in the Republican Party right now. They're right. They're open. If somebody, the right people, come and show, you know, hey, there's something really happening in the Republican Party with all these new people coming in, all these Ron Paul supporters, maybe we should take them seriously. So you got to turn out for this. Please be on the teleconference tonight. The first teleconference is for the All America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message. That would be at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. And then the National Federation of Republican Women's Convention teleconference following that. Here's the number, 712-432-2600. 712-432-2600. And the code is 26447. 26447. So you need that access code to get in. And if you tried last Friday, we had all kinds of technical problems, and I apologize for that. I hope things will go more smoothly this evening. I apologize for anybody that might have been frustrated by technical problems last time around. So that's what's going on. Listen, we've got another little piece of audio that I want to play for you. This is called Why I Support Ron Paul. And apparently a group of supporters, Ron Paul supporters, got together and they put together what appears to be a commercial of some sort. Now, I don't know what they intend to do. It's out on Google or out on YouTube now. I don't know if they're planning on putting it on over the air. But we're going to listen to this little commercial that they put together, Why I Support Ron Paul. So let's go ahead and roll that.
I'm John Wilkes from Seattle, Washington, and I'm tired of holding my nose when I vote. This year, something different is happening. There's a man running who votes according to his principles. He has a 20-year history in the U.S. House of Representatives voting according to his principles. He's consistent, he's honest, and he's genuine. His name is Ron Paul, and that's who I support for president.
Hi, my name's Chip Barron. I'm the new organizer of the Seattle Meetup Group for Ron Paul. I'm a Ron Paul supporter because I believe very strongly in the Constitution. I think the Constitution is the best way to run a government. I believe the government of this country should get back to constitutional limits and values, and I know Ron Paul's the man to do that, so I'm doing everything I can for him. Please join us.
Hi, my name is Bob Dennis, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Ron Paul truly represents America's core values. Those were our founding fathers, and I think those that most Americans hold dear today. Small government, limited taxes, and I think most importantly today, getting us out of Iraq. He's the only Republican candidate who wants to end the Iraq war. We've lost 3,500 Americans and over 600,000 Iraqis, and the war needs to stop. Beyond that, our civil liberties are being abridged every day by our own government, and that needs to stop as well. Ron Paul for president, 2008.
Hi, my name is Jeff Moon. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. If there's any one reason I support Ron Paul, it is because our government is in debt up to its eyes. Right now, our national debt is 300% of our annual GDP, and there's only been one time in history when our national debt was that high, and that was just before the Great Depression. We need a conservative fiscal president for the next 4 years, or else this government or this economy is not going to be doing well. Ron Paul, 2008.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I'm from Seattle. We need to free ourselves, our families, and our country. So vote for Ron Paul for president.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm from Seattle, and I support Ron Paul because he's going to work to end the Federal Reserve and return us to a sound currency.
My name is Adam, and I'm from Seattle, Washington. And I support Ron Paul for president because he's one of the only candidates, if not the only candidate, that voted against the war in the Republican Party. And he's also a very strict believer in the Constitution. And I'd like to see more liberties and freedoms brought back to the citizens of our country. I feel like we live in a prison without bars. So I hope Ron Paul will become our next president. So support him. Ron Paul, 2008.
Hola, me llamo Alexandra. Si quieres que este país sea próspero, vota por Ron Paul. Si quieres pagar menos impuestos, vota por Ron Paul. Si quieres que la guerra en Irak se termine pronto, vota por Ron Paul. Si quieres tener un futuro mejor para tus hijos, vota por Ron Paul. Go Ron Paul 2008.
Hi, America. I'm Chris. I support Ron Paul because all of the money in our pockets is the debt of our children. I support Ron Paul because they hate us when we bomb them. I support Ron Paul because this country is going in completely the wrong direction when it comes to personal liberties and freedom. And I support Ron Paul because he's the only candidate to even admit those things are a problem. None of the other ones even mention them. And that is the most important thing for our future.
So now they get the family dog, apparently they're barking in support of Ron Paul. Yeah, the subtitles in the video. Obviously, this is radio, so you can't see that. But yes, Chip the dog or whatever. Yes, he supports Ron Paul too. That's really cute. Little Spanish in there too. It's a cute piece. Thanks, guys. Whoever put that together, tip of the hat to you. Good job. Keep it going. And tip of the hat to all the Ron Paulers out there who are doing such a fantastic job. I mean, we are really just an amazing bunch of people. I mean, it's just incredible. On a daily basis, something new comes out. Some amazing new project that Ron Paul supporters are launching. And you know what? It works. We are having an effect. We are growing rapidly. In just a few months, I mean, amazing. We're coming up on 50,000 members soon in the meetup system. Amazing. Okay? But, I mean, we got to pour it on now. We gotta pour it on now. We cannot let up. We cannot feel as though we've done enough. I mean, we are up against a lot. Okay? The chances, there is a chance we can win. Don't let them ever tell you that there isn't. There absolutely, positively, without question, is a chance that we can win. But it's not a slam dunk. And we've gotta put our nose to the grindstone. We've gotta put our shoulder right up against that wheel. And we have got to push, all of us together, now, without delay, everything we've got into this campaign. We can take this country back. We can make this happen. But, you know, we have to do more. I'm sorry. We have to do more. I mean, we have to give everything we've got to this campaign right now, financially, with our time, with our effort. Everyone that we talk to, I mean, the stakes are just too high. It's freedom or tyranny. It comes down to that. It's freedom or tyranny. It's catastrophe or renewal. Okay? I mean, I started the show out. The U.S. dollar is crashing right now. It's crashing right now. Okay? The implications of that are huge. Huge. Okay? I already told you. Oil at an all-time high, wheat at an all-time high, gold at a 27-year high, inflation, massive out-of-control hyperinflation, okay? The devaluation of your purchasing power by a 20 to 30% over the course of the next few months. Now, there's things that could prevent it. All kinds of weird things happen in markets. You never know what's going to happen. All kinds of stuff can happen, but let's put it this way. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Now, if it's going to go bad, it's better that it happened now. It couldn't have happened at a better time for us. Because if it goes bad now, we got a shot. We got a shot at putting Ron Paul in the White House. Because he's the only one who makes sense on this stuff. It opens the door wide open for us. We've got to take advantage of it. This is a historical moment. We are living it right now. And we can't let the future down. We can't let our children down. We can't let our grandchildren down. Okay? We cannot let ourselves down. We cannot let our ancestors down. We cannot let the founding fathers down. We cannot let Ron Paul down. We have to do everything we can to spread the freedom message and so that people understand, like those people at the values voter debate last night. Maybe they're starting to understand. We did get second place after all. Maybe they're starting to get it. We can't give up. We've got to keep going. Please do everything that you can to support Ron Paul, support the freedom message, and get it out there. So we're going to end the show today. I've been trying to play this for like a week now, and this is something really uplifting and fun and positive. It's called Ron Paul, done to the tune of New York, New York. So go ahead and listen to this. We're going to take the show out with that. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. And, give me a call tomorrow or send me an email or something. Love to hear from you. Ron Paul, Stephen Vincent, The Freedom Message, signing off.
Start spreading the news. It's time for a change. We'll make a brand new start of it. Ron Paul, it's your right to choose. It's the American way. The constitutional heart of it. Ron Paul, I want to wake up in a country that doesn't sleep, to fight for our civil rights and liberty. These little man blues are melting away. We'll make a brand new start of it. Ron Paul, if we all lend a hand and stand up with this man, it's up to us to vote Ron Paul. Ron Paul, I want to wake up in a country that's truly free, to find our President Paul in the White House, Capitol Hill, President Paul. To us to vote Ron Paul.